John Allen presents the Creepy Crawl Podcast.
When your favorite revolutionary gets shot in the eye, blame it on the catcher in the rye. If your hero blows up like the Challenger, time to blame old J.D. Salinger. MK Ultra and hypnosis. These things stink like halitosis. Everyone is dying, and you wonder why. It's because I'm not job red, catcher in the rye.
Hey, 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 creeps. Welcome back to your show that is, yes, yours, the Creepy Crawl Podcast. I am your not phony host, John Allen. Hashtag literary reference. I am here to fulfill all of your deepest whims and desires. What, Woodrow? Yeah, you're probably right. I'm overpromising. Creeps, I am not here to fulfill your deepest whims and desires, but I am here to scratch your daily conspiracy itch on this most conspiratorial episode. Quick shout out, as always, to every sexy MF-er who's been helping the show. I've stalked each of their profiles individually, and each of these people are the sexiest people I've ever seen in my life. If you want to be sexy like these people, you can do so by going to patreon.com/creepycrawl. You can give me a one-time shot on Venmo at jonathan-allen-154. Definitely follow me on the Twitter. That handle is at writerjohnallen, no H. And I do have a new Facebook group. It is facebook.com/groups/ The Creepy Crawl Podcast. Or go to groups and type in The Creepy Crawl Podcast. I do a lot of polls on there about episodes, what we should do next, etc. So check it out. What's that? Do you guys hear that? Oh, I hear it. So that fake imaginary intro music you're hearing is I Have a Theory, which comes from a musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Because conspiracy theories, and because Buffy. What else could you possibly need, my gorgeous creeple people? Research for today's episode occurred on April 19th, and on this day in history in 1993, 76 Branch Davidians died after an FBI siege on the infamous Waco, Texas compound, resulting in a plethora of conspiracy theories. 2 years later, on that same day in 95, general simp and overall human version of Taco Bell flatulence, Timothy McVeigh, using Waco as inspiration, bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City, killing 168, many of them children, and injuring 500. Woodrow, I know he's dead, but when we get to heaven or hell, I'm going to punch McVeigh in the face, so give me the list. Okay, McVeigh is on the list. This case would also inspire many conspiracy theories. McVeigh is now dead and getting teabagged by demons in the everlasting inferno, so that's good. I wonder if there was a branch, the Branch Davidians, I wonder if these anti-maskers and all that, if they did a thing like that, would they be the Branch Covidians? I'll stop. As for today's conspiracy theory, well, it's a doozy. It's been around forever. Why is the catcher in the rye always involved in these prolific assassinations? Well, I say we walk this Lego-laden road together barefoot. Grab your entitled Holden Caulfield teen angst,
Don't Be a Phony,
and Creepy Crawl with me. So I used to do a stand-up joke regarding Catcher in the Rye. Picture yourself in a dimly lit nightclub, and everybody's got a scotch in front of them, and the background's got a little jazz music playing, right? And I'm doing my thing, sort of a Mitch Hedberg ripoff. So I tell this joke, and as part of my act, the joke goes as such. You know, I've read The Catcher in the Rye 12 times, and I've never killed anyone. Take a pause. But I'm no quitter. I guess I'll have to keep on reading. And I always got a reaction, because The Catcher in the Rye, it's in the zeitgeist. People, it is known, read it, and do bad things. This is accepted as the norm. Let's talk about Catcher, written by J.D. Salinger. Catcher in the Rye is one of the most popular and highly controversial novels in history. It has been referred to by some as the, quote, Bible of teenage angst. Because remember, Holden Caulfield doesn't like people that are phony. I'll be honest, personally, Creeps, I used to love the book. I thought it was brilliant. I do really enjoy J.D. Salinger's writings, especially the stuff he does with the Glass family of characters. But over time, I've come to accept Catcher in the Rye and its main character, Holden Caulfield, to just be basic, to be a spoiled, entitled little bitch. I picture Holden Caulfield to be one of the Trump kids as a teenager having a hissy fit because he couldn't take the Rolls Royce out for the weekend and had to settle for the Mercedes, that sort of thing. Just my take. I cannot, however, figure out what it is about Catcher in the Rye that drives people to the brink of insanity. It's just a teen novel, right? It's about a grounded kid, basically. Some spoiled kid who, I guess, is mentally ill. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read it by now, it's been 70 years, you know? But let's talk about that. Salinger started writing the book in its earliest form. It was a short story called The Boy in the People Shooting Hat, which seemed like a crazy title nowadays. That boy in the people shooting hat, eventually that short story becomes chapters 3 through 7 of the actual novel itself. Salinger writes this when he is in Berlin, Germany, serving in World War II for just under a year. That's sort of odd. Last I checked, enlistment is 4 years, maybe in some cases 2. But he's over there for a year. NBD, right? No big deal. Maybe we don't know the details. He's writing this little short story that's going to turn into this massive book. Exit the War. Takes the book with him as he checks himself into a mental hospital. This was definitely a secret not revealed until decades later, given the mental health stigma of the era. Again, picture how bad mental health is construed to be these days. If you go back to the 50s, that same stigma is mental health today. Squared. That gets you, that's like a high number, right? I don't know, math, whatever. Some people think the book and his self-imposed alienation was a way for him to cope from something like PTSD, common for soldiers now, of course. But back then, it was undiagnosed. On the surface, this book, Catcher in the Rye, it's about a young man sort of peeling back the layers onto the innocence of childhood to shirk the dissatisfactory phoniness of adulthood. Catcher in the Rye, sort of a strange case. It is simultaneously, or it was at least, one of the most taught in schools, and also one of the most heavily censored books from the 60s to the 80s. In many school districts, it made their banned books list. You know, it's really funny. That banned books list is also, I guess it includes Animal Farm, or no, 1984. 1984 is what I'm thinking of, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Irony. So to add to the book's controversy, it has, of course, since been found on or in the possession of some of the most infamous murders or attempted murders of high-profile figures. Of course, I'm going to cover the American ones. Also, creeps, you don't hear about it, but it's other murders have been associated with Catcher in the Rye. It just excuse me. I had some awesomeness in my throat. I had to clear out. You just don't hear about the average Joes, but a lot of cases involve Catcher in the Rye and normies like us. So there's a couple, again, roads to go down to get to the final conclusion, as they say. So let's just go ahead and travel those roads right now. I promise I'm not going to be phony. So starting off this conspiracy, Holden Caulfield, basically, as mentioned, is J.D. Salinger, or at least is based on J.D. Salinger. So let's touch on that. People who have read the novel know that the main character, Holden Caulfield, is a wee bit of a disturbed lad. That's a polite way to say nutso. He narrates his experience in a mental hospital and deals with trauma and loss from the death of his brother. Many people believe that Salinger put himself in the protagonist, particularly the pain he experienced while at war. There's nothing controversial about that. Sorry, I'm moving stuff around with like my water and everything. There's nothing controversial about that. That's what we do as authors. When I wrote my first book, Throwaway Kids, which is about a guy who devolves into anarchy while trying to quit drinking, I was actually quitting drinking myself. So I threw a lot of myself into that. Although I will say my experience quitting drinking was really remarkable because I did not go to meetings or anything like that. I don't even know if I was an alcoholic. I mean, I got drunk every night of the week. But regardless, I just quit cold turkey against my doctor's wishes. Almost a week later, I went from party boy to complete fucking nerd. And my sex life went from like a 1% to a 0. Moving on. In the book Salinger by author David Shields. Excellent title, by the way, David Shields, Salinger. That's like Walt Disney writing an autobiography and calling it Cartoon Mouse. But I digress. David Shields, quote, "Although the reader is unlikely to know the extent to which Salinger's PTSD informed Catcher in the Rye, the book is a worldwide phenomenon because he has buried that trauma inside of Holden." Since many believe that the novel is autobiographical, it can be seen as the author, J.D. Salinger, talking about his experience in the army, which is where he started, of course, writing the book. Well, let's talk about Mr. Salinger's army stint, shall we? J.D. Salinger spent a year in the U.S. Army in 1942. Remember, a year, not four, not two, 1 year. It consisted basically of two phases. Essentially, his job was to interrogate captured Nazis with the CIC, which is an acronym, stands for Counterintelligence Corps. They were this intelligence sector responsible for providing security for military installations and staging areas. They located enemy agents, and they acted to counter stay-behind networks. They also provided training to combat units and security, blah, 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 blah. Essentially, the CIC were the people at Guantanamo Bay that waterboarded Muslim people. Except, you go back 60 years, they are doing it to Nazis. Towards the end of this year, which, by the way, it's a bit curious that he's only there for a year and he has such a high-profile position within the Army, right? The CIC joins Operation Paperclip. Ah, yes. Now, as my fellow conspiracy heads know, Operation Paperclip, it's one of the most renowned sources of conspiracy. And like the Octomom, this fertile undertaking would breed many more true and conspiratorial spawns, the crotch goblins of secrecy and deception. Operation Paperclip is huge, creeps, in the conspiracy world. It was an operation that was top secret and dangerous, spy-type shit. In fact, quite an alarming number of people connected to Operation Paperclip were mysteriously suicided. Sort of like that whole Clinton body count, if that's to be believed. That guy committed suicide by shooting himself in the back of the head with a shotgun 4 times. These were cases that Dateline couldn't even begin to dissect in its calming, sexy baritone. Oh my goodness, do I have a thing for the voice of Dateline? This Operation Paperclip, it involved the U.S. recruiting over 1,600 Nazi scientists, engineers, and technicians to help us win the space race against the dreaded Soviet Union as the Cold War was looming. Again, fact, fact, fact. We did bring over about 1,600 Nazi monsters because of not the hate in their brains, but the intelligence. Sad but true. Now, this was less of a tactical thing. It wasn't a wartime thing. Again, it's about the space race. So it's more of a morale victory, beating the Russians in the space race, which in turn leads many like myself to believe we did not land on the moon when we said we did. I'll do an episode on that. I firmly believe that we eventually got there, just not in 1969. In 1969, we supposedly got to the moon with technology way less than the iPhone I'm speaking on. How did we get through the Van Allen belt? It's a whole thing. I think we just said we did. Again, it's a mental victory, I guess you would say. Now, the concept of beating the commies was trending hard all the way up until the 80s when I was growing up. I grew up on movies like Red Dawn, Rocky IV. We had video games in the arcade like Russian Attack, which is clever. It wasn't Russian Attack, it was Rush, R-U-S-H, apostrophe N, like the word and then the word attack. But what did you do? You rushed, you basically just ran with a gun in your hand and shot Russians. So yeah, pretty clever. Also, I grew up with bad guy pro wrestlers during the boom of pro wrestling where everybody watched, like Nikita Koloff and Nikolai Volkov. We were trained to hate and fear the Red Menace. When we would play outside, which was every day from dusk till dawn, if we didn't have school, it was all about getting the greatest plastic fake machine gun toy. Some unlucky bastard in the neighborhood, usually the nerdiest one, would have to play the Russians. And that's what we did. Kill the Russian. The Wonder Years. This makes sense because the Nazis also hated the Russians, who were slippery, but our World War II allies. Why? Because, of course, the Russians beat Germany as well, but after the war, they brutalized Germany. It's really pretty crazy. We're talking war crimes. I know the Nazis deserved it, but the German people, many remember who were not Nazis, that were just sort of forced into this way of life and thinking for fear of reprisal. The Russian soldiers stayed on long after we left. They would rape women, kill the men, kill the children, pillage, plunder. It was brutal. We did nothing about it. We just let it happen. Some of these Nazi professionals, I guess, worked in the concentration camps and, as we know, conducted grotesque, inhumane, horrific experiments there. Years later, Operation Paperclip would give way to other, let's call them morally debatable projects. And though J.D. Salinger was not in the army when the later projects were in operation, they were all in their infancy when he was around Operation Paperclip. And being, an extension of an intelligence agency, the CIA, it's pretty safe to say he had insight and clearance. It is true, remember, that the man was known for being a hermit. After he left the army, as he was writing these books, he wasn't much of a press guy. After Catcher, he didn't write for a long time. He stayed holed up, hiding from the world. So, we really don't know what he was up to or with whom he was conversing all those years. He certainly did not produce enough books to have spent that time writing. You have to question, was he canoodling with the army hierarchy, perhaps? Was his role with the CIA, was it greater than, well, it was definitely greater than this proposed one-year stint in the army, because that doesn't make sense. Could he have been utilizing, under their guidance, certain key phrases and words in his novels for a nefarious purpose? I think it's funny how a book that was first unknown and then banned almost overnight became required reading in schools. Oh, and by funny, I mean not funny at all. You know what is funny, creeps? The following exchange. Herb. Knock, knock. Solly. Who's there? Herb. Control freak. Solly. Herb. Okay, now you say control freak who? Came across better on paper. So let's take a look at the post-coitus rugrats from Operation Paperclip. We have Project Chatter. What was Project Chatter? Asked the woman in the back. I see you, lady, and I have your answer right here. Project Chatter was a U.S. Navy program where they lab-tested drugs on animals and humans in interrogations, as well as the recruitment of secret agents. Again, everything I'm mentioning here, all these projects and operations, are verifiable, truth, common knowledge, on the record. lab testing drugs on animals and humans in interrogations. Well, I'm no military expert, but I'm going to venture and say that's certainly not something that would get you invited to the Geneva Convention after party, right? Which sucks, because I heard Will.i.am is performing this year. Next, the most popular fruit of the loin from Operation Paperclip is the big daddy of them all, Project MK Ultra. MK Ultra, also called the CIA Mind Control Program, was the code name given to a program of experiments on human subjects that were designed and undertaken by the CIA. And guess what? They were illegal. I'll tell you, this is why we shouldn't scoff at conspiracy theories, Woodrow. Well, no, I saw you scoff over there, so. MKUltra and Tuskegee creeps, they were once considered tinfoil hat territory, but are now historical record. You never know what will be revealed next with these conspiracies. That's why I do them. Some sound silly. I mean, Avril Lavigne, was she replaced by a clone named Melissa? Probably not likely, but fuck, in this world we live in, who the hell knows? I mean, mind control. That's real. So, experiments on humans were intended to identify and develop drugs like LSD, as well as procedures to be used in interrogations in order to weaken an individual, I think they would be called an asset, and force confessions through mind control. Often these confessions were not valid, but the power of the mind is something to behold. Then next we have another crotch goblin from Operation Paperclip. It's another biggie. And again, remember, the key here is that J.D. Salinger is associated and worked on all of these. It's Project Bluebird. Another spinoff of Project MKUltra. Sort of like Frasier was a spinoff of Cheers. This particular Frasier focused on hypnosis and behavior modification as a means of preventing CIA employees from turning spy and giving intelligence to their adversaries. But of course, with such technology, there's no way they only used it for that. That would be like someone giving you a beachfront property in Malibu and you only use it to build one sandcastle. Nah, baby, nah. I ain't buying it. Put that credit card away. Declined. Lastly, we have Project Artichoke, the next Frasier spinoff. The primary goal of Project Artichoke was to determine whether a person could be involuntarily made to perform an act of attempted assassination. Again, 1951 was the genesis of this project. Now think about J.D. Salinger's timeline compared to 1951. This smells like the dumpster behind Sushi Hut. Fishy. I'm telling you, creeps, Salinger was there for all of this. All of these projects and operations I've mentioned, controlling people, using them as fucking zombie robots to kill others. This is on the record. This is all real stuff. So let that sink in. Salinger, he is the onion in the salsa in the middle of all of this during that 1 year, supposedly, of military service. Suddenly, Salinger's legendary reclusive ways are starting to make sense, huh? He was gone doing his thing. Theoretically writing the next great American novel. Well, he was writing something, wasn't he? squelch. Isn't that a gross word? I was thinking about that the other day. I would take the word moist any day over squelch. Speaking of conspiracy theories, I have to go to Raymond James Stadium, which is where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play their foosball, in about an hour or so. So if the next time you hear me, I'm suddenly glowingly speaking about the government, just know that I was microchipped. Where were we? Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about mind control, aka MKUltra, and the other theories. MKUltra, sort of, it's been known forever, right? But we never had the means to discuss this. We never had the internet or anything like that, so it was quite easy for the government to suppress this true thing that happened. In 1997, we have the release of the movie Conspiracy Theory, starring Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts. It's a shame what Mel Gibson did to himself. He is a brilliant actor and a more brilliant director. Simply amazing talent. What a shame that he said the things he did and does some of the stuff that he does. But this is 97. This is peak Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's character in the movie has an obsession with the novel Catcher in the Rye. And the film quickly intensifies when us viewers learn that his character is involved with, of course, the CIA, and that his mind is being controlled by the controversial MKUltra program. This is less Hollywood fiction and more documentary. Seriously, creeps, if I'm lying, I'm flying, and I've yet to sprout wings, no matter how many times I ask Santa for them, if that is his real name. The idea was, and is factual, that, well, the CIA implanted codes in The Catcher in the Rye that brainwashes assets to do whatever the government wants. A well-known theory about Catcher in the Rye is that it is a trigger for, quote, sleeper assassins, trained by the CIA's MKUltra mind control program to take out individuals. I think in the modern era, this applies most famously to John Lennon's murder. That was something I covered in episode 1, the atrocious, infamous episode 1, which I'm going to always leave up for posterity to see how far I've grown. John Lennon had always been under FBI surveillance. He was viewed as a dangerous political figure, say, a radical, during his time. So, the claim is that the book was the trigger used to wake trained sleeper assassins to do something while under mind control. In John Lennon's case, Mark David Chapman, we'll get into that a little bit more in depth in a few, was the sleeper assassin. You should also note these assassins exclusively are lone wolves. They don't have many friends or family, not a lot to account for, and no one to account for them, that sort of thing. Keep that in mind. This is where the idea of The Manchurian Candidate, which is a book and a couple of films, started getting thrown around heavily. Again, this is art imitating life. In The Manchurian Candidate, the protagonist is captured and brainwashed and turned into an unaware assassin. Lee Harvey Oswald said something strangely close to this during his own interrogation. He referred to himself as a patsy, which is 50 speak, I tell ya, with my high pants, for a scapegoat or pawn to take the fall for something. This would explain, I think, why he was killed so swiftly. Let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? Do people really believe a Texas strip club owner named Jack Ruby cared so much about an East Coast president, JFK. Mind you, Texans at the time hated the East Coast, probably still do. Red versus blue, guns, no guns, all that. But we're supposed to believe Jack Ruby cared so much about John F. Kennedy dying that he managed to sneak into a police compound tunnel unnoticed to kill Oswald. Who has that kind of allegiance to a man? I guess maybe the insurrectionists, January 6th. But no one in their right mind, especially in the 50s and 60s. There was sort of a code, a decorum that people lived by. It just wasn't really a thing. Creeps, remove your weaves and toupees and put on your thinking caps and imagine this. You are a high-ranking government official. You and some other high-profile associates have a special agenda, and that agenda is to shape the public narrative. Let's say, for example, so-and-so really shouldn't have said that on TV last night. Or, so-and-so is becoming too powerful, getting too big for their britches, and making too much noise. Or whatever the motive. Think about people like John Lennon, Tupac, Bob Marley, JFK. Think about Harvey Milk. All these people that died by these hands of assassins that are loners or have a Twinkie defense. They don't understand their actions after the fact. Their defense is laughable. There is a line in chapter 21 of Catcher in the Rye. It hides in plain sight and points to the use of hypnosis and mind control. It reads as such. It's funny. All you have to do is say something nobody understands, and they'll do practically anything you want them to. That is a stunning statement. It's like leftover blow. It's on the nose. Don't you think, Woodrow? Oh, come on, Woodrow. They don't think we do cocaine. We're like in our 40s. We don't... Okay, in the 20s maybe. Whatever. That passage can be received a few ways. First, the act of inducing mind control via hypnosis and subliminal messages are never overt. Hence the name, subliminal. It's never out in the open. They're often something someone cannot understand or even recognize is happening. The implanted assets thought seems to have come from one's own psyche. And I think, well, what do you think? Would someone with, quote, mental illness actually be easier to manipulate? Is this how they choose subjects? Because again, we'll get into some of the famous cases, although I should say again, a lot of regular citizens have been killed related to Catcher in the Rye. But the famous subjects, all of the people involved, suspected of being MK Ultra, Catcher in the Rye, all that, they were mentally ill. Of course, once they have been conditioned to kill their target, sublimity? What is an edit button? Is that a thing? Do other podcasts have such technology? Shenanigans. Once they are activated or come into contact again with the trigger or subliminal message, they're ready to kill. Maybe this explains why both Mark David Chapman, the John Lennon killer, and John Hinckley Jr., the attempted President Ronald Reagan killer, behaved so erratically after killing their, quote, target. Mark David Chapman was found we used to call it sitting Indian style, but I don't know if that's PC. I don't even want to go down that route. Let's just say he was sitting cross-legged after he kills Lenin, sort of rocking back and forth slowly like a 97-year-old woman on a wraparound porch in July, reading the book, eerily calm, and under zero desire to flee the crime scene. And as far as Hinckley, John Hinckley Jr., when he tried to assassinate President Reagan, he eventually ran out of bullets. He's being restrained, but he's got this, like, superhuman strength. Essentially, he is trying to shoot a gun still that had emptied itself of bullets. Like a damn robot desensitized to the chaos around him, unilaterally focused on one goal, he is pointing this gun and repeatedly squeezing the trigger. Click, 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 click. Nothing's coming out. The rational mind would stop at that point. But his mind, not rational. His only goal, his only purpose in life is to shoot the president. And until they can wrestle the gun away from him, click, click, click. Empty, no bullets. But he has no control of his own mind. Most assassins killing people of high stature, they don't do so. They don't kill their targets so publicly or stick around the scene of the crime. They try to get away with it. But that wasn't the case with these two cats, right? If these were, in fact, MKUltra Manchurian candidates who were triggered by Catcher in the Rye, this makes sense. Another way that particularly on-the-nose passage from Catcher in the Rye can be interpreted is suggesting that the actual plot of the Catcher in the Rye is twofold. Very interesting. Historical and religious scholars believe that there is a secret secondary plot line that runs through the novel via typology, which could actually make the book make a bit more sense and definitely give us more tea to spill. For those who don't know, see, there I am trying to sound like a know-it-all. I didn't know until I researched it. Typology is the study and interpretation of types and symbols, originally, especially in the Bible. With this layout, J.D. Salinger appears to be writing about a secret society, the Freemasons. Doesn't get much more conspiratorial than that, right? Leaked documents from the CIA confirmed that during the MKUltra mind control program, once patients heard a certain set or sequence of numbers or words in a particular order, they would immediately become hypnotized and they would obey every command that they received. This is really creepy shit. And typology itself, well, that sounds awfully Nazi scientist-y, doesn't it? See how it all ties back? Sounds like something only an evil empire could experiment on and get away with. So we didn't do it. But hey, those good old Nazis did it. Rather than hang them at The Hague, let's bring them on over, see if they can't help us out, right? Just neighbors being neighbors. I'm just saying, no one has ever tried to kill the Pope or Gandhi or their neighbor who doesn't return the shopping cart back to the corral after reading, say, To Kill a Mockingbird. Now that's a great book, Atticus Finch. What a badass name, by the way. Atticus Finch. Well, creeps, it's time once again for the Woodrow Comedy Minute that lasts longer than a minute. Now, Woodrow was, quote, dumped by his girlfriend Trisha this week and currently is in woman-hating mode. I use girlfriend loosely because I've never seen or spoken to this Trisha.
What? What do you mean she goes to another school? We're in our 40s. Oh, Woodsy, it's okay to be single. You don't have to create imaginary people.
What do you mean I created you? I created you. Okay, creeps, my thinking head is a flutter suddenly. I'm in the middle of a mindfuck. Woodsy, you have thrown me into an emotional wood chipper. Let's just get on with the jokes. You're real, Woodrow. Damn it, you're real. Okay, creeps, my real co-host has written anti-girlfriend jokes to ease his pain over this supposed Trisha. Let's just go with it. Otherwise, it's going to be like that time where we went to Saigon and had a pancake slap fight with the crossing guard outside of the Starbucks. It was a whole to-do. Joke one from newly single Woodrow. Here we go. Girlfriend. Honey, how would you describe me? Boyfriend. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Confused girlfriend. What does that mean? Boyfriend. It's an acronym, babe. Adorable. Beautiful. Cute. Delightful. Elegant. Fashionable. Gorgeous. And hot. Blushing girlfriend. Aw, thank you, bae. But that wasn't all the letters. What about IJK? Soon-to-be ex-boyfriend? Those stand for I'm just kidding. Ooh. Grab some imaginary sunblock for that burn on an imaginary girlfriend. Joke two from a distraught and heartbroken Woodrow. Girlfriend. Honey, is Google male or female? Boyfriend. Female. Because it doesn't let you finish a sentence before making a suggestion. Ouch. Woodrow, you realize most of our audience is female, right? Not exactly. I mean, I'm no whiz at marketing. Okay, I'm starting to get why Woodrow is single. Well, final joke, creeps. What did the cannibal do after dumping his girlfriend? He wiped his ass. Yikes, that got dark faster than burnt toast. Welp, that's our Woodrow. Now, back to the show. Woodrow, I think... Will you hand me the list? What do you mean, why? I'm putting the Nazis on the list. I don't care if they're 120 years old. All these experiments are bullshit. Give me... Alright, well, I just put the Nazis on my list. So we have saved, I guess, the most important piece for last. Be it population control or whatever. Maybe it's some literary version of The Purge. You know, I can't decide if I love The Purge or hate The Purge. The concept is amazing, though. Then it gets, like, too political. Like, just keep it a horror movie, you know? But, yeah. Some people just feel the need, by design, to kill after reading the book Catcher in the Rye. Of course, a few celebs will be in that demographic by default. Again, I can list a bunch of regular people involved in these Catcher in the Rye killings, but it's celebrities who write the headlines, so let's cover the biggins. I just sounded like a preacher. Cover them biggins. It's ungodly. John Lennon's assassin, of course, Mark David Chapman, had a notably obsessive connection with the novel Catcher in the Rye. As we said, after he shot and killed Beatles co-founder John Lennon, he reportedly opened the book and began to read it.
He did that rocking thing. He was sitting cross-legged. In fact, he was even going to have his name changed legally to Holden Caulfield days before the murder, but he wasn't able to finish the forms. I'm guessing because he thought the forms were phony. In court, this drooling inbred read, as part of his defense, pages from Catcher in the Rye. Because yes, this book was written about him. He was Holden Caulfield. No, he was a number 3 quacker. Which is how I say odd duck. Get it? Because the number 3 is odd and a quacker is a duck. I really think I'm brilliant. The book, as mentioned, is also linked to John Hinckley Jr., Robert John Bardot, who was the man who murdered actress Rebecca Schaefer and stalked Madonna, and will be in an upcoming crime episode, in fact, 2 episodes from now. Also, we have Lee Harvey Oswald, Martin Luther King Jr. killer James Earl Ray, good old Chucky Manson, the Boston Strangler, the Zodiac Killer, the DC Sniper, and Ted Bundy. Yes, besides being maniacs, they all had copies of Catcher in the Rye with them or in a special place in their homes and their heart. This cannot be coincidental. It defies all logic. Sort of like how Kevin James always has a hot TV or movie wife. No. No, no, no. Hollywood bullshit. Stop setting up false expectations. Kevin James is not pulling that. Kevin James couldn't pull a fucking string of dental floss out of his teeth. No, Kevin James does not have hot women. Maybe the actor does because of gold diggers, that sort of thing. But he's not funny. He's not attractive. He's not pulling these women. End rant. This naturally leads conspiracy theorists and anyone with functional brainstems to understand that this novel, Catcher in the Rye, was an assassination trigger. Mark David Chapman will forever be known as the man who got an autograph from John Lennon hours before he shot and killed him in front of the Dakota. Chapman had the book on him that night and was reading it with a passionate fervor when the cops came and nabbed him. And inside said book, he scrawled his own inscriptions, the way us authors do when we dedicate it to someone. This inscription simply read, "This is my statement." Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Chapman, because, you know, your statement is this book. What a bold statement you're making. What a tough guy you are. Not weird at all. Yeah, when the cops arrived at that scene, he told them, quote, "I'm sure the big part of me is Holden Caulfield, who is the main person in the book. The small part of me must be the devil." Ooh, scary. You paunchy son of a bitch. But anyone who knew Chapman personally prior to the murder, they didn't believe he was capable of doing anything of the sort. It's a tale of two people in one body, creeps. MK Ultra. A paperback of Catcher in the Rye was found in the hotel room of John Hinckley Jr., again the 20-something loner who tried to kill Reagan. Have you picked up? Again, these guys are always lone wolves. Easy targets for their handlers. He was said to be obsessed with the book, and oddly, John Lennon. This is some weird synchronicity. Hinckley said that a world without Lennon meant that the world was over. He wanted to commit suicide by trying to kill the president, but then being killed by the Secret Service, thus earning notoriety in the process. This is why I like how the media these days has kind of stopped naming mass shooters. Eventually it gets leaked out because some of the lesser known websites that try to make a name for themselves, they
go and release the name, and then it just becomes a big fucking Twitter thing. And then they go, oh, was the killer white? Was the killer black? Was he a Democrat? Was he a Republican? Blah, blah, blah. As if any of that matters. His reasoning, Mr. Hinckley, was to impress then underage taxi driver actress Jodie Foster. Gross. She was, what, 13? And the movie Taxi Driver, it's phenomenal. It's the one where De Niro has the mohawk. It's also about a lone wolf who loses his damn mind and tries to kill a politician. So much synchronicity here. You talking to me? You know that famous De Niro imitation that everybody tries to do but screws up? That came from Taxi Driver. Just a little trivia for you there, creeps. We have actress Rebecca Schaefer. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I'm doing a full-bore episode on that case, next week. But she was shot by Robert John Bardot at her apartment in Los Angeles in 1989. Bardot was a former straight-A student who suddenly turned dropout. He was obsessed with the actress. He'd stalked her for 3 years. When he visited her apartment complex, she sort of turned him away. He returns later, knocks on the door, and shoots her. In his possession, The Catcher in the Rye. Moving on. The infamous Lee Harvey Oswald, the man erroneously charged for JFK's murder, also had connections to the book. After a raid of his Dallas apartment following the assassination, Catcher in the Rye, alongside books like George Orwell's Animal Farm and Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, were found. Woodrow, you did put Nazis on the list, right? I'm checking that list, and I'm checking it twice. I'll find out if you've been naughty or nice. Yeah, so Oswald, he also spent most of his teen years studying socialism in his free time. Actually, not socialism, communism. I don't want to confuse the two because there is a difference. I bet he was a blast at Kegers. A psychological assessment conducted from a short stint Oswald spent in juvie due to his consistent truancy from schooled? Where's that edit button? Oh, we don't have one. Revealed his tendency for, quote, a vivid fantasy life, turning around the topics of omnipotence and power, through which Oswald tries to compensate for his present shortcomings and frustrations. This psychiatrist or psychologist? Well, his name is Dr. Hartogs. And he detected, quote, a personality pattern disturbance with schizoid features and passive-aggressive tendencies. That sounds a lot like me. Oh, no. Am I going to read Catcher and start trying to shoot famous people? No, I've read it like 12 times. I haven't done it yet. I'm good. You know, creeps, these days, people who get stuck in fantasy worlds start podcasts or write books, or they get sucked into TV or social media. They're the kind of assholes that watch a UFC fight and think that they can beat people up. But back in the day, fantasy lives, let's just say they were darker than burnt toast. So those are like just a few of the assassinations that have been linked to The Catcher in the Rye. The book was and is highly popular. One thing to note, we haven't had any Catcher in the Rye incidents in quite a long time. But, as you review the timeline, the ending of these Catcher in the Rye incidents coincides with when people started smarting up and catching on to this obviously weaponized book. Very coincidental, right? The easy thing to do is just shrug and say it's outlandish. Then again,
It's also easier to shit your pants rather than pull to the side of the road and put 7 layers of TP on a gross gas station toilet. Easy is not always the best way. Many outlandish statements have some shred of truth, right? Some of the basis behind the Catcher in the Rye assassinations also contain truth. And by some, I mean a lot. So let's recap. J.D. Salinger works with Nazis, secret military service, reclusive, typology, writes a book. People read book. People are triggered, lone wolves. They go out and kill or try to kill. Let's officially relate these things I've been speaking about. So, well, remember the great space race. Since we brought over those German scientists, technicians, and engineers, they were assimilated into American life. They were citizens, and they continued their jobs working for the U.S. government. So, whatever gross and fucking disgusting skills they used over there in Nazi Germany, we wanted here. We didn't want them here because we felt like Nazi hospitality was good for the world. Concentration camps obviously were known for human experimenting. We couldn't do that ourselves, but they did it. And shortly after they arrived, we began doing similar things. Now, we're not killing Jewish people just because they're Jewish. We're not doing these fucking Frankenstein-style surgeries and whatever these maniac Nazis could think of at the time. But as far as the mind control stuff and all of that, well, it definitely happened. Here we are. Salinger, he has a hand in all of this with his brief military history. And then there's Catcher. Coincidence? No. So there is definitely confirmed evidence of the government testing out the MK-Ultra mind control on both their own agents and unassuming others. This is public record, gang. Interesting fact, most files on MK-Ultra were discarded for some reason during Watergate, if you remember that scandal, but the slimy perps forgot an entire fucking bushel of evidence. We have maybe 1% of the evidence of MK-Ultra, and on my Twitter, I will post some official government documents declaring such, but 99% of it was, in fact, shredded, set on fire, whatever you want to say. But thank God, these ass clowns left at least 1%. Oopsies. So, the aforementioned government projects, again, they are true, and they are obviously very questionable, their intentions are. Why were so many influential people killed by Catcher in the Rye-obsessed kooks? Why that book? Why were ordinary citizens unceremoniously killed by people obsessed with Catcher in the Rye? Why was Salinger notoriously reclusive? Why did he sign legal contracts so Catcher can never, ever, ever be made into a film? It might sound like I'm going all Charlie Day meme with the red string, but these damn dots connect so easily. And after connecting them, do you know what image appears? Holden damn Caulfield in his stupid hat with a cartoon bubble right on top of that stupid hat, mumbling something about phony people. Watch what you catch in the rye, creeps. It just might be a case of the murder flu. Creeps, you can fast forward if you want, but
I'm so proud of my gangster rap, so I'm going to go ahead and play it again for you right now, because this is a fucking club banger.
When your favorite revolutionary gets shot in the eye, blame it on the catcher in the rye. If your hero blows up like the challenger, time to blame old J.D. Salinger. MK Ultra and hypnosis, these things stink like halitosis. Everyone is dying, and you wonder why. It's because I'm not Job Red, catcher in the rye.
I was in a secondhand store yesterday, and in the aisle, I came across a fella that was missing a hand. He had one hand. So I said, sir, I think you're in the wrong place. Haha. So just to summarize, I threw a lot of word vomit at y'all. So I just want to break it down. You have J.D. Salinger with his mysterious military service connected to German scientist, MK Ultra, the CIA. Then Salinger goes away for a long time. Then he writes a book, Catcher in the Rye, filled with typology, all this stuff. Catcher in the Rye goes on to be a book that inspires ordinary citizens to kill their neighbors as well as famous people. Not much of a conspiracy. It's pretty straightforward, right? That ties together. That is one perfect book. Bow? How do you... Does the bow tie together? I don't know. You get the point. So, I think it's very, very obvious what has happened here. Again, I'm going to go and get my shot. So, if I end up next episode talking all funny and strange, and I've shaved my beard and I'm wearing a suit and tie and I'm acting all government like that kid, like Nick Stahl in what was that movie? Was it The Faculty, where all the kids become members of the Blue Ribbon Club and all their personalities are wiped out? That was an example of mind control, MK Ultra type stuff, and also a damn good 90s teen horror movie. So yeah, I just wanted to tie all that together for you guys, because sometimes when you throw a lot of words out there, you're just saying a lot of words. But rather than give you a 3-minute synopsis, I thought I'd give you an episode. And again, these are things, I'm going to have the pictures and all that on the Tweety Bird, but these are all public record. I don't know why these things are not being accepted as fact, but they will, because we're going to grow this podcast and we're going to change the world. And then I'm going to start speaking to you with code words, and then you're going to go out and do stuff, not murder, but like you'll just have the urge to go to Chipotle and bring me a burrito, that sort of thing. My creepers in the rye, we've come to the end of the road. Hashtag boys to men. If listening to this episode has spurred a desire within to murder a public figure or that terrible neighbor who does not return the shopping cart, IDK, just don't. Because you know what? You'll go to jail. Then you'll miss the new season of Stranger Things. It's a whole to-do. What do you guys think? I believe fuckery of some sort definitely abounds with Catcher in the Rye. There's just something going on. You can also let me know what you think in the Facebook group, because as always, I want to thank everybody who supported the show. You can be a sexy mother lover like them. What did they do? They went to patreon.com/creepycrawl and they helped the show. They gave me a direct hit and sank my battleship on Venmo at jonathan-allen-154. They followed me on the Bluebird at writer John Allen, no H, boy band style. And they've recently joined the Facebook group, The Creepy Crawl Podcast, which is facebook.com/groups/The Creepy Crawl Podcast. So if you do what they did, you too will be a sexy MF-er. That Facebook group is pretty cool. I'm over 100 already. I just started it. But I do like polls for the next episode, that sort of thing. I post random bullshit. It's a fun time. It's a nice little community. Basically, you will be let in immediately. Just don't be racist or an asshole, condescending. Just be a person, you know? That's all you gotta do. Let's do a Spotify shuffle to find our fake, pretend, imaginary, cannot afford the rights outro music today. Woodrow, will you do the honors? And we are off. Here we go. Spinning. Spinning. Wouldn't that be funny if it landed on Lose a Turn, like Wheel of Fortune? Okay, here it is. Oh, yes. The song is Get On Up by Jodeci. Or was that Casey and JoJo? Well, they were in Jodeci. Back in 93, the first thing I wrote for my high school newspaper, the Molar High Crusader, was a review of the latest Jodeci album. I think everybody in school was confused because I was not writing about fucking Pearl Jam. You know what? My school was lily white, so I was ahead of my time. To those Catholic lads, R&B meant rosaries and Bibles. Well, I've got to go get my shot. And I've had about enough of me for one day. Until next time, creeps, do not read a teenage book and go crazy. Don't go around pointing fingers and calling people phony. And what do we say, Woodrow? Creepy crawl on.